It's been a busy week at the State House with high-profile votes on issues ranging from redistricting and abortion to medical marijuana, gambling, and school building aid. And HBR's Josh Rogers has been following the action, and he joins me now. Good afternoon, Josh.
And to you, Brady.
Let's start in the House, where lawmakers had the busier docket this week. Let's start with gambling. What happened there?
Well, the House, as you know, has never favored gambling, but backers of this proposal, which would have authorized up to 4 casinos and 14,000 slot machines, were quite convinced that it would have a shot at passage. They thought using gambling revenue to cut business taxes would make the bill more palatable to conservatives. But the bill ended up doing what gambling bills have tended to do, divide both parties. And there were concerns of quality of life and also that the state would be making too many concessions to licensees. And the final vote to kill the bill was close to 2-1, which was pretty tough.
And hanging over that anyway, Governor Lynch had promised he would veto a gambling bill. And it was seen as unlikely that it would be overridden. Lawmakers did override the governor on another controversial topic, legislative redistricting. So what was going on there?
Well, the governor said the House's plan was unconstitutional. You know, redistricting the House 400 members, it's not easy. One concern was that the House's plan lumped city wards into districts with some small towns. Another was that this denied 62 towns their own representative, even though those towns met the population thresholds, which is required now under our state constitution. According to Republican leaders, those were essentially necessary compromises to keep deviations of the plan as a whole within acceptable federal margins. I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing ends up in court.
Another issue debated at length this week, abortion. The House passing two bills aimed at limiting abortions. Can you tell us about those?
Well, yes. And the trajectory on these was interesting. One of the bills would have required women to wait 24 hours before receiving an abortion. That plan won preliminary passage 2 weeks ago. At the time, it also required doctors to detail fetal development and to warn of health risks, including a disputed claim linking abortion to breast cancer. The bill also carried felony penalties for doctors who didn't comply. That felony provision triggered the bill being sent to a second committee, a requirement under House rules, and that committee ultimately voted to nix the penalty. So when the bill returned to the House floor, the House couldn't pass it as amended by the committee, but it also didn't have the votes to kill it outright. So an amendment was produced to strip the measure to a simple 24-hour wait for an abortion with an exception for a woman's health, but none in the case of rape. It ended up passing by 16 votes.
That was one of the bills. What about the other bill on abortion?
Well, that would ban abortion after 20 weeks, which abortion rights groups say those sorts of abortions don't now happen in New Hampshire. It also included felony penalties for non-complying doctors, but unlike the other bill, it never went to a second committee. And that ended up passing 190 to 109 with the support of Speaker O'Brien. Both these measures could easily be vetoed by Governor Lynch should they reach him.
Now, most of the hot-button issues this year have started in the State House, but a few have been Senate bills, and one of those is medical marijuana. What would the proposal there do?
Well, the Senate bill would allow patients with doctor-certified debilitating medical conditions, in quotation marks, such as cancer, HIV, AIDS, stress disorders, or severe chronic pain, to have up to 6 ounces of marijuana, 6 mature plants, and 12 seedlings at a registered location for growing. This bill cleared the Senate 13-11, which isn't enough to thwart a veto from the governor. But, you know, they say this season's still young and we'll find out what happens.
The Senate also passed a major change to the state's school building aid program. How does the new program work?
Well, you may recall the entire building aid program, which gives districts a sliding annual percentage of construction costs, is in the midst of a moratorium amid concerns that it was unsustainable. This bill, instead of helping every year with projects, would give districts 2 distinct lump sums, one at the start of the project and one at the end. The Department of Education would also have a priority list ranked by need. Projects in needier communities would be ranked more highly than building aid projects in towns with a lot of property wealth. And there would be an annual cap of $50 million. Sorting out building aid has been a priority for Senate President Peter Bragdon for a number of years. And as this bill moves on to the House, it'll be interesting to see how his priorities are welcomed by Speaker O'Brien and
vice versa.
Exactly, Brady.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh.
You're welcome.
And HBR's Josh Rogers.